Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to my beauty industry enthusiasts, content creators, and brand visionaries. Get ready to step into a world where beauty meets business, where the creator economy blends seamlessly with strategy. I'm Sonia Elise, and this is Lip Service, the podcast. We're about to redefine the way that you think about the beauty industry. From the boardroom to the makeup room, we're leaving no stone unturned. Lip Service is your backstage pass to the beauty industry's best kept secrets. Now take out your notebook, fill up your emotional support water bottle, and swipe on your favorite lip gloss. Let's get into the episode. Welcome to the podcast, Carol Rodriguez. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. It's been a busy day. But it's nice.
Amazing. Well, we're so excited to have you. If people do not know and already follow you, Carol is a professional makeup artist, a content creator, and an all-around creative, amazing person. I have been following you for a while, and I am just so impressed by where your content is headed, which is why I really wanted to interview you for the podcast, because I think other people would really be inspired by the duality of your presence online, both a professional makeup artist as well as a creator. I think it's such an interesting position to be in. So before we dive in to all the nitty gritty, I need to know what's on your face today.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I've been loving this Good Light Order of the Eclipse Hyaluronic Cream. It's Korean skincare. It is the most silky, beautiful base. And it, like, even if you have texture, if you put it on, it almost leaves like a silky, like slippy, glowy finish. And then we have, wait, because everything's still everywhere, of course.
Of course.
I color corrected my under eyes with the Fenty Beauty. Here we go. Fenty Beauty Bright Fix Eye Brightener. And then
we're in cannot the makeup get bag, enough. Folks.
We're literally inside the bag. Cannot get enough of Fenty Beauty Ease Drop Skin Tint. It gives such good coverage.
Really?
I love the finish of it. It is like a skin tint that, like, you need on your harder days.
Okay. I like that description. That makes complete sense to me. Like, some skin tints, I'm like, why did I even do this? This is moisturizer.
Water. I'm going to make a video about skin tints, because it is so real that not all skin tints are made the same. And I don't want to cause further confusion by breaking up skin tints, but I think there are things that consumers need to look out for, such as like dropper bottles are going to be liquidier than, you know, a squeeze or whatever. Yeah.
For sure.
Also, weird. Listen, Tarte has come, I don't know if I'll say a long way, but I'll just say away. Tarte has come away. And they reached out to me sometime last year and they sent me like a collection of their stuff. I have not stopped using this like cream highlight. When I tell you if I'm like this on a liquid highlight, like, I am a cream highlight aficionado. And this is just like the perfect finish. I like putting this on under or over my makeup, and I will hit just like the highest points. There's no glitter, there's no shimmer, it's only pearl, which is like what makes your skin look very healthy and like light reflective. So like, even if I'm not putting any makeup on, any coverage, I'll put this even some on my under eyes just so it reflects light a little bit, and it makes my under eyes circles.
A makeup artist trick, of course.
Yeah, a little luminosity. And it's like think about like Ulla Henriksen, who has the Banana Bright under eye. It has like that luminosity so that it reflects light, because it's counteracting like the sallowness. So
amazing. And for lastly, the lip. What lip are you wearing?
The lip is Anastasia lip liner in Chai. I love this lip liner formula. And I finally, literally for the first time, just tried this Fenty Lip Velvet that I've literally had in my, I've been wanting to do a a video on this using my camera and not just on TikTok. So I've been like, I'm not going to use it. And one thing I'll do is I will sit on some fucking product, which is not my favorite thing to do, but I'm just like, this needs to have its own moment. But then my ADHD comes in and then my schedule gets packed and then its own moment never happens. But I used this today and I was really impressed. It was really opaque.
Wow. Okay. We love it. Second question. Mm-hmm. You unfortunately expire tomorrow. You go down to the otherworldly. What one product do you take with?
Honestly, if I could have an eternal joint, I think I would take an eternal joint down okay, with me.
We love it. We love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would just continue the vibes down there.
I like that. Yeah. I like it. It's a party. Let's keep it going. Last question before we dive into all the goods. What is helping you stay creative right now? Like, what is inspiring you?
You know, I'm not feeling very creative right now.
Okay. Totally honest.
I think what's helping me stay afloat, which is helping me kind of reach for that creativity and make it feel more tangible, is like therapy, individual and couples therapy, as well as like the support of my partner. And I think like those three pillars, along with like my self-care rituals, really have been helping me. The thing that's nice is that creativity for me is something that I never really have to look for. I just have to listen for. And I just kind of have to like hear for myself and just kind of let myself notice it. Like, where's my phone? Yesterday, I was going through one of my friend's stories. And she was in Spain and she took a photo of the ceiling. And I was like, that is so beautiful. I love.
Ooh. Oh,
and
that's
gorgeous. I was inspired by this so I can look at how to create this effect through makeup so I can kind of study it with like the shadow and the light. So like that will get me thinking about something that might not end up being this literal. But maybe can be something that starts like around the eye and it's something that, you know, goes that way, which either can come up like on myself or like on a test shoot or, you know, on a model or something. So
nice. Well, I love both of those, both external and internal work to find creativity is a great balance. Yeah. So
yeah.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the episode. So we are here with Carol at Carol's Corner with a K. Don't get it twisted. And I have to say before we start, my favorite thing about Carol, not my favorite thing, but the favorite thing that I'm reaching for right now, they start there, stories with hoochies. And like that really speaks to me. It really speaks to me.
You know,
where did you get that from? How did that start? Please tell us.
I am New York born and bred. I'm talking about I've been taking the subway by myself since I was like 7-8 years old.
Oh my God.
All that being said is like any native New Yorkers will understand this. The way that New Yorkers communicate, there's a sense of like hilarity to all of it. There's a sense of unseriousness to all of it. There's a sense
of
everything is a fucking joke. Everybody relax. Yeah. It's not that serious.
We're all in this shithole together.
We're all in this shithole, literally under the surface of the fucking earth, in the tunnels of the subways, so going to work together. And so like, I'll say dumb shit like that. It'll either come up to me like, I wake and bake as soon as I wake up. I go into the shower. I start my morning. And it typically is a very like happy time.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I'm feeling chatty, something that I actually used to do years ago, I used to like, especially on Snapchat where I kind of started, I would have like stupid sayings that would like go and then they would die like the wind. And randomly my followers would be like, oh my God, do you remember this? Do you remember that? One was in college when I was like going to work out, it was get your ass up and mind your business or something like that. And so a bunch of people kept like saying it to me because I was like, yo, people just need to mind their fucking business when they go to the gym. Like, Mm-hmm. People have different bodies. People have different abilities. Like, who cares that I'm on the treadmill walking for an hour and you're out here sprinting? Like, you know?
But do you ever look at these things like this is part of your personal brand? Like, is this eventually become strategic when you see that people are latching onto it? Then you're like, oh, you know, this is a thing now.
You know, when, okay, so a lot of this happened pre Carol makeup artist.
Okay.
A lot of this was happening, Carol in college, Carol away from home, Carol studying musical theater, Carol being in chronic pain, Carol being like an anxiety girly, also very unmedicated ADHD, just having a lot of struggles. And I think like one of my first communities was the internet. And I think the internet really took to essentially how much I shared. I also think about it as like, the more that you share, the more chances you give people to connect to you, which I think is what happens. So I think back when I was in college and I was not intending to build a community, it was something that didn't have any stakes to it. There was no, after this. It was just like, This is my survival. I need to like exist in a world that's not my actual world. So like, this is just, you know, and something that I found existing on the internet and creating on the internet for a decade at this point, over a decade, is when the way that you start on the internet, it really is affected by what's going on in your life. And like, I even 100%. Find it hard nowadays to share as much or even just be online as much, because now my life is worth being present for. And like, now I'm waking up and I'm having moments with my partner that I don't, like, I just don't gravitate towards my phone as much as I used to. And I definitely don't share as much information. I also think like the caveat of being like the person that I am and having the career that I do is that I also have to kind of, and I'm still in the journey of figuring out how to toe the line between this is who I am. And like the person that you see now is a person that shows up to set, no matter if it's a, you know, a child model or Beyonce, like you're going to get what you get, but that's also not the most well-received in certain settings when it comes to the beauty industry, where there is certain space for being yourself as long as you are yourself in this way. I think there's still a lot of expectations about what a makeup artist, a celebrity makeup artist, a, you know, known makeup artist should look like, how what they should wear, how they should present themselves. If you want to get celebrity clients, then you need to have like a Cartier, you know, this or a ring, and you need to go here, you need to go there, you need to live this kind of life. And for me, I feel like my life is very, it's very normal, and it's also very unglamorous. And so sometimes I feel like being very open about things like my trauma or my mental health in the same way that I was in the past, I don't know if it would be as beneficial. Not just because of the potential kickback, but also just like, what do I get out of sharing the, like during these vulnerable or difficult moments with my community? I think now I'm taking more of the approach of going internal and then afterwards kind of really thinking about it and thinking about, okay, what are my boundaries? What do I want people to know? What am I comfortable with people knowing, instead of just like picking up my phone while I'm in the middle of the chaos and being like, because that's also, it was super unhelpful at times, because I literally would be on my phone for hours giving people advice. They would send me long things that I knew about everybody's everything. And so that was also a lot for me to take on as a person that was like in college starting their career. In terms of like that being my part of my brand now, I think it's definitely something that I want to come back home to, because I've been working on radical acceptance in my personal therapy, and even with me you know, being someone who is relatively new to even smoking weed and now being someone with chronic pain and trauma and complex PTSD and all these things and ADHD, and this helping me tremendously in so many aspects of my life, even that has taken me so long to even talk about on social media because of the stigma that I myself had towards it growing up in Washington Heights with drug dealers on my block. And also the stigma that I know that a lot of the beauty industry girlies that, you know, might drink alcohol, but they're like, ugh, weed. And I'm like, babes, there's champagne at every beauty event. Let's be fucking
for
real.
That's so true. That's so true. I mean, I think you bring up so many good points in this, you know, conversation that we're having. One is that there really is a difference in showing up authentically when you're also being hired professionally, right? I'm not going to say like a true influencer, but someone who's creating and influencing full time, or, you know, they are not also being hired separately for something else.
Yeah, for like their skill set or something. Yeah,
exactly. They, I think, have a little bit more freedom to go ahead and share
absolutely
different facets of their life than someone who is also being hired like a professional makeup artist, a hairstylist, you know, other type of artist, photographers.
Yeah.
You know, there we can run the gamut on that, or even myself as a marketer.
Totally.
Even myself, I have to pause sometimes before I upload something that is going to be more vulnerable in nature, because I know my clients do see what I'm
absolutely
posting about.
Yeah.
And there has to be some form of like, yes, I am transparent. I show up online for a purpose, but at the same time, I need to be seen in a professional light, but this is really who I am. So
yeah.
I think that's a path that we all walk. You're not alone in that, but it brings up a good point between what is the difference of someone who's a makeup artist and creator and someone who is just a creator potentially.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Interesting. So what led you, number one, to become a makeup artist? But number two, what was the evolution from like makeup artist to integrating like, okay, content really needs to be a part of this?
So makeup and content have kind of always existed because I, by nature, am an extremely helpful person. Like,
mm-hmm,
I'm the person who, like, if you're at Costco and you're thinking about this, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't do that because da-da-da-da. I'm known to stop people in Rite Aid on the makeup aisle and be like, I don't think this, like, do you need help with your foundation color? Even when I wasn't like a makeup artist, because so I grew up with YouTube. I did not have cable. We were very poor, did not have cable. We had one computer. When I got my first, I started watching YouTube when I had my iPod Touch, and I had an Urban Decay Naked Basics palette and one brush that I still have.
Love it.
And I would just cram out looks and looks and looks and looks with just one thing. I have an older sister, and she would have a bunch of products, and I would kind of steal them. I just learned to see a 1D thing in like 8D. And mm-hmm, that's something that really benefits me now because I've learned to do so much with so little. So
sure.
I consider the first place that I ever created content was like Facebook, because I would post these like collages of makeup looks that I was doing, new mascaras I was trying. And I was in high school doing this to like who on Facebook? I don't know. Other Jonas Brothers fans that had me on Facebook. And then I honestly started on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I started as a huge Jonas Brothers fan, but that loved makeup. And then when I got to college, I started making Snapchats every day. And I was doing like a makeup tutorial every day before class. It started picking up a lot of traction. And I started learning how to get people to want to look at it by mm-hmm posting on Twitter, whether it's posting the final mm-hmm look or posting, you know, the inspo for today or whatever. So that was all happening. I was still the girly that was like at Sephora, still helping people while not on the mm-hmm payroll. And I went to college for musical theater. Mm-hmm. I have always loved to sing. It was like, I initially went in for science, but I switched to musical theater. By the time I had graduated, I had started like a tiny business doing people's eyebrows in college. and I would do people's eyebrows for $5. I would just like...
Wait, like thread it or what?
Literally just tweezing. But the way that I would transform people's brows, like...
Oh my gosh. I'm scared. Don't look at like,
No, literally, I would put my girlies on a fucking plan. And I'm telling you, from my first year in college, there was this people knew me as like the girl that always had like makeup, a purple lip, mm-hmm. a blue lip, a this. So mm-hmm. they would be like, what do I do with my eyebrows? And I'm like, okay, you need to don't tweeze the middle. Let me just shape the outside, but you cannot touch the middle. And I have saved so many girlies and their eyebrows. Oh, all gosh. The Arab girls went to me and I would carve a delicious brow for them. So
oh my gosh.
By the time I graduated college, I had done makeup on a couple of my friends, a couple of my black mm-hmm. friends. And I loved it. It was something mm-hmm. that was very natural to me. It was almost like when you see little girls like painting each other's nails. For me, doing makeup on another person was very, it just felt very natural. Sure. So when I graduated college, I actually had a really big ankle surgery. So I was not really able to, you know, work immediately. I decided pretty quickly after college that I didn't want to do musical theater because at the time I had really long hair. I didn't have any tattoos. I was very like straight passing. I knew that I wanted to change things up with my appearance. I knew that I wanted to get piercings. I knew I wanted to stretch my ears. I knew I wanted to express myself in a different way. And I also knew that I didn't want to be forced to stay a blank canvas just to fit into roles. So I was like, I don't want to do this. I also saw firsthand just studying musical theater, how much privilege there is, how often am I going to be in a room with, you know, a 12-year-old who's been in like Carnegie Hall Junior since they were like 4.
Sure.
And that is really like the shit that you're up again in New York City. Like, so I was like, do I want to do this? And I'm like, it doesn't even seem that interesting to me. I got a random reception job because it would allow me to stay seated. I moved up to like a building admin at 3 World Trade Center. And I was there for a year and a half. And while I was there, I was still very active on Twitter, posting my looks. I think I got my first PR ever from Buxom Cosmetics. And then my second PR ever from CoverGirl. And I remember that was such an exciting time. And I was a huge, and am a huge Maybelline fan. Like, Maybelline was my ride or die. On Twitter, I was always suggesting Maybelline Fit Me, Maybelline this, because it had variety of shades, variety of undertones. It worked for a lot of people. I knew the product very well. So one day while I'm at work, I get a DM from the Maybelline page. And it's this girl, Sarah, who's like, hey, so we're launching this like lemonade palette. Do you want to come into the office and like do some looks for us? And I can just like shoot some photos. It's like small deal, but we just want to get some whatever. I was like, oh my God, of course. I would love to go. It was my first time like going into L'Oreal. And that girl, Sarah, turned into my best friend of still now like 6 years. Her name is Sarah. Yeah, her name is Sarah Mendelson. And at the time she was doing social for Maybelline. Mm-hmm. She was like one of like the big Maybelline girls and they were always on Snapchat. And then she was the first one that took a chance on me. And she's like, why aren't you doing makeup? Like, why aren't you a makeup artist? And I was like, I have no money. I have no money to buy. I don't know how I would even start about buying a kit. How am I supposed to afford a shade for every foundation? I knew for a fact that if I were to become a makeup artist, I wasn't going to offer any services unless I could cover all skin tones. And I knew that that was going to be, a huge investment. So she was like, you know, she invited me to come back to the office and she was like, showed me the Maybelline closet. And she's like, take a shade of every foundation, take a shade of every brow pencil, grab these city bronzers, grab these mascaras, get these age rewinds. And that was the first iteration of my kit. And like Sarah really took me under her wing during a really difficult time. And she was like a full on beauty girly, like very much knew so many people, introduced me to some to makeup artists that I still love. And I've been working with Maybelline for 6 years now, every Pride, which has been the most amazing thing. So content kind of brought me makeup, and then makeup has also brought me content, and both have worked. Yeah. Both have worked really, really well together.
Wow. That's a really interesting story, because most people, I think, would assume you were a makeup artist, trained, did this, and then you started creating content to support the business. But it really was super intertwined in your journey. That's really interesting. I also want to go back really quickly when you talked about the cost of creating a kit. I actually never thought of that for whatever reason, although it's very obvious. Could you give listeners an estimate? What does a startup cost for a kit run somebody who is becoming a makeup artist?
I would say, so startup looks different for a lot of people. And I want to say this consciously to not, you know, dissuade anybody from approaching it. It is something that you're always going to have to put money into, because makeup is a finite resource and you're going to run out of shit. And you're going to need shit, especially disposables. Yeah. But I have a whole like back stock of makeup like things. I think if you're a makeup artist that is wanting to, or doesn't have the opportunity to get a small loan of $1 million and, you know, buy 50 shades of Lancome and, you know, every shade of Charlotte Tilbury and, you know, all the expensive shit, I would honestly try to set up test shoots, which is what I did, with models of different models that look different. Because a big part of also, I think, becoming a makeup artist is not waiting until you have the 300 piece, you know, crayon set before you start drawing, but also knowing, like, I'm not saying you need to have, like, I started with all Maybelline. I'm talking about all drugstore. And so like, but even with just a Maybelline, let's say if you're carrying 20 shades of their 40 foundations, that's going to be like $300 in just foundations. Mm-hmm. And that's you carrying every kind of other, every second or third shade. You can also get, you know, one of kind of every shade category and mix. But it is something that you can make your start in with really good drugstore items. I wouldn't suggest that if you're just starting out that you completely deck out your fucking kit, because there's just so much room to grow that there's no need to, like, you don't need to learn how to drive a car with a Lamborghini. Like, there's, you can always level up. It's more about learning the set etiquette. It's more about, I feel like those things are more important to makeup artistry than the actual products. But yeah, I would say like, a starter kit, I would say you can make like a, I would say $500, you can make like a scrappy-ish, but okay, kind of starter kit.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. I never thought about like the pricing of it all and like how many colors you have to carry and how many things, and then like they run out or they get dry or this, you have to depot them. Like, it's really interesting.
And one of the amazing things about being a creator that is like on brands peripheral as an expert, as a makeup artist, is that a lot of the times if I want to try something, they'll be like, oh, hey, and if you want to stock your kit, we can send you one of each shade. Or if you like this, if you like that.
Huge.
Which is always so, it is the most helpful thing, because being a makeup artist can look very glamorous, but it is a very seasonal, it is a very fluctuating, it's a really inconsistent, like, there are big waves and there are small waves. And so it's always a huge help when brands are interested in supporting me with products, because it also allows me to know the formulation, to play around with it, and to suggest it to other people that might not fit me. And now I'm like, okay, now I feel confident about recommending this to Black women, because I've used it on Black women. Yeah. So that's something that's a really big pro, because it's also hard as a makeup artist to not be interested in like, Charlotte Tilbury has a corrector, this person has a corrector, let me try this, 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 that.
Yeah.
But then that becomes... Exactly.
You unravel. How often do you think, or would you guess, that you get hired or get an intro because you have more of a following. Do you think that that is something that is attractive for brands to have you on set now because, you know, you have a decent following and you have more sway?
I really don't think so because...
Really?
Because, okay, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I started working with this makeup artist named Shade Cafe. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, she started her agency called Godmom Agency. She was a makeup artist who I assisted and who, from a test shoot, an unpaid shoot, she had seen on a mutual story. She had like emailed me and was like, hey, I'm doing a shoot tomorrow with Megan Thee Stallion. Are you interested in assisting me? And I was like, First of all, manifested this shit. Don't know where you came from, but you're an angel and absolutely yes.
That's so cool.
And so Shade, then we like Shade has is by far the I love assisting them. Shade started this agency, and so Shade has been the person who has introed me to a lot of brands, and typically brands will reach out to her and she will pitch me. And so when I get confirmed for jobs, a lot of times I'm showing up on set not looking like this. Like, it's not giving Carol's Corner. It's giving like Carol yeah. Rodriguez. I'm here to fuck shit up. Like, I'm wearing all black. I have a hat on. And so the reason why I feel like it doesn't help is because typically on set, mm-hmm. we exchange Instagrams and everybody's like, oh my God, you do this. And I'm like, yeah. Like, it's never even a conversation.
Interesting. Yeah.
Sometimes who I will know, and because I've been in the industry for a couple of years now, is talent. I'll almost always know at least one talent because I've done a test with them, or we kikied online, or like we're mutuals in that way, which I think can add to like the comfort of the set, being that I am like in a lot of different circles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if a brand is listening right now, they should really consider this. Because if it was me doing, and I have been the one who has hired the makeup artist or the hair before, when we go to look, if they have good social, I'm almost more motivated to include them. Even if it's not, I know what you said, like you show up and it's not Carol's Corner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you're working, but
totally.
You're more likely to reshare your work on social. You're more likely to support
create
the brand
content on
potentially.
Set.
Exactly.
Totally.
All of the things. Or you could say, you know, of course, there's different rates for this, but you could say, hey, yeah, create content on set as BTS while you're doing it. I mean, that eliminates some of the BTS shooting, a social shooting job.
And something I also think is a huge benefit to being a creator is mm-hmm. I have had to learn, because I have scoured a million fucking hours of my face, and I've known what my face looks like when it's lit this way, when it's lit that way. Like,
sure,
I'm not a trained photographer, videographer, even editor. If I can never edit again, that's what I would do. That's what I would never do. But I, being a creator and having to look at your own work so much, and look at your work on others with a really good camera. Your mm-hmm. eye is so sharp.
Yeah, you're like, I know exactly what this is going to look like.
And when I'm on set, mm-hmm. I tend to be very, very involved and interactive with the photographer, with the producer, especially because the relationship that I have with talent, especially if I'm on makeup and hair, mm-hmm. styling is not always going to be on set to do touch-ups or, you know, depending on what they're wearing. But a lot mm-hmm. of times the talent is confiding in me to be like, does this look okay? Do you think I should do this? Or like, do you think you can take some BTS? And I'm like, yeah. Yes, perfect. So like, I'll tell them, hey, when you're doing, and especially when I have women of color and plus size women, or people of color and plus size people, like, or even gender queer people, I've been on shoots with trans people have been like, can you tell me if my packer is straight while we're shooting? And I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, please, like I am here to make everything come together. So I will help with the angles and relax your arm a little bit and relax your fingers and do this and do that. And the photographer, like I just did a shoot with Ulta a couple, like a month ago. And the photographer was like, oh my God, can I have you on every job? And I was like, you could,
you could.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, you very much could. Cause the thing, it's just like the small, tiny things that you just learn by being so involved. Of course, not every photographer loves it, but I think it is a helpful asset to have. Yeah.
Agreed. You're making the talent feel comfortable. And I think it's so important to remember that so much talent that you're probably doing are not professional models. They're people who are in a position where they're getting shot for press or for something else, and they don't know how to pose. They don't know what they're doing. So, okay. Another question from the crew. We talked about how you got into content creating, but what are some of your favorite collabs that you've done recently?
Ooh, I just did actually like a collab post. So it wasn't like sponsored or anything, but with Good Dye Young, the hair brand, the hair color. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Good Dye Young is a hair brand started by Halsey. And I love the aesthetic. I love the colors. Love their tones. I'm such a colorful hair person. And so I have a friend that works at the brand, and I knew them like way before they worked at the brand. And I was texting them, and I was like, I made this TikTok thing. I just saw that it's all Good Dye Young. Do you guys want to like use this or collab on this? And they were like, yeah, let me get you in touch with a social person. And they were like, oh my God, we'd love to do this. Let us know. That type of organic, like, we support you, you support us. It doesn't have to be like NDA, contract, this, that. It's just like, can I just be like a liker of your brand?
Yeah.
Can I just like your brand?
For sure.
Yeah. So that's been one of my faves. I think my relationship with Maybelline is one of my favorite storylines. It started with me being featured the month after I connected with the Maybelline team, me being featured for like their LGBTQ like pride series on being non-binary. And it was actually the model that I worked with named Dominique that I worked with on that set. And I met her on that set. I had done her makeup for a test shoot. And then my manager was the one who saw that test shoot. And she was the one that emailed me for the Megan Thee Stallion job. So there's so many things in my life.
So much synergy.
Mm-hmm. There's so much serendipitousness in my life all the time. And I think Maybelline is a big part of that. And like working Pride with them is so fun because Maybelline loves the gays and the gays love a Maybelline. And so it's always fun to do stuff with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you touched on this a little bit, but the last question from the audience is on your journey to becoming a makeup artist, did you eventually go back and do specific courses? Were you just like on set learning hands-on, which it seems like probably everyone can agree that's the best form of education. However, did you end up doing more formalized education later on, or that's not part of your journey?
Yeah, no, I didn't do any formalized education. I definitely thought about it. I also have never really thrived in a
formal
formal classroom vibe. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't know that instructors at a school would have like their ears on the ground to what makeup was going on now, because makeup is so ever changing. And I also just really wanted to know, like, I'm coming back from going to college for 4 years in Pennsylvania. Like, yeah. I didn't go to college in the city. I wasn't like out here, you know, in Soho meeting the artsy people. Like, I was fully in Altoona, Pennsylvania. So when I came back, I didn't know. Literally, please never do. So, okay. Oh my God, the other day I had a model on set, gorgeous. She says she's from Altoona. I said, Altoona.
No.
And she was like, what that is? And I was like, girl, I wish I didn't. And she's like, me too.
Me too.
So,
I love it.
So when I got back, I really just also wanted to collaborate with other makeup artists, other photographers, other models. I knew that I also had such a strong desire to work with specific people that I didn't want to just do makeup on a model. I found a lot of inspiration in different people's faces. So even before I was like a pro makeup artist, I had, and I still have a saved folder called model wish list of like the models whose faces I'm just like so obsessed with. I have like an idea And then under that, I have like models I've DM'd, models who haven't replied, models who I'm setting up with.
Oh my God, the organization.
No, it has to be, no, it really is real. But yeah, so I think I just wanted to kind of like wet my feet. Also wanted to have like creative control over things. And I also didn't want to go into more debt. Like I went to a 4-year, sure. I went to Penn State that comes with a lot of fucking debt. And so I was like, I can learn.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
So tell us, in, of course, the beauty industry, there are a lot of people who have transcended from makeup artist to creator to now brand founder. In that space, who do you think is doing it right? Who do you look at and you're like, man, maybe that could be part of my journey one day? Is there someone in that space that you're like, they've done like a really good, interesting job?
I look at Patrick Starr and I grew up watching Patrick Starr. I was watching him on YouTube for years. We've been following each other on Twitter since like 2011, like so long ago. And to see him go so far, speaking the same way, dressing the same way, having his core values be his brother, his mom, like it's a very like I feel like it's a very comforting and like familiar storyline. And now to see that very natural transition into high impact, highly effective, long lasting, snatch, and then to have the quality be as good as it is a really cool. And for Patrick to be, when I was watching YouTube, it was Patrick Starr and Manny MUA, like the two gay guys, gay beauty girlies. And so to see Patrick and also Manny go with Lunar Beauty, it just makes so much sense. And I see so much, I'm very inspired by it. I don't think I'm interested in starting a brand, but it's also one of the reasons why I featured Patrick's bronzing and contour palette on the Drew Barrymore show, because he is an LGBTQ founder and that is, and a BIPOC founder. And that is something that's important to me. And I love the makeup artistry behind it. Like, I love how the products perform. I love the ingenuity of the, even like the stop the sweat, something that is people like, we're not having those people that need things like stop the sweat are not just drag queens. They are hyperhidrosis girlies. They are, you know, they are older women.
It's filling a need that people are not talking about as much.
Exactly. And they're not talking about it because it's a very adjacent to drag culture, to like all of that. Because a lot of people, you get like the regular consumer in Sephora is like, I don't want to look like a clown. And I'm just like, I'm like, what do you mean by that? But I love that Patrick is doing it well. He's doing it effectively. And yeah, and the packaging is so beautiful. The red, I love it. It also feels very ergonomic, which is nice. So
yeah, that's great. Yeah, 360 approval from you. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so two more questions before we wrap up. You mentioned that maybe product is not in your future journey. What is? Like, what if you had like the Carol vision board in front of you? What is something that you're really striving towards right now?
I'm striving towards streamlining my process as a one-person team, because I have recently gone through like some manager agent woes, which is something that also like 9-to-5 people don't really have to. There's a lot of things that freelancers and like content creators get PR packages. You see, you get all this shit for free. Of course you're lying. You get all this shit for free. Of course you're never going to say anything bad. And I'm just like, there can be two truths in that there are a lot of things that a salaried person does not have to worry about in the way that a freelancer does. So I literally just made my my wall a whiteboard. And my partner actually has really been helping me because they're like the Libra process person. So they also do like social media and strategy. They've been helping me kind of streamline my process because I have so many ideas of what content I want to show up. Again, with the showing up pro MUA, but also showing up, you know, chill.
What's the balance?
Mm-hmm. And also, like, I'm somebody who has a certain number of, have you heard of the Spoonie community?
No, I don't know.
So Spoonies are people that deal with chronic pain, mm-hmm. chronic illnesses. And basically the idea is that every day you wake up with a certain number of spoons, and that's all mm-hmm. the spoons that, and like, let's say you wake up with 5 spoons and showering mm-hmm. takes 2 spoons.
Okay. You're not, I do know.
Not like
theory.
Everyone yeah. else who's like, yeah. So sure. mm-hmm. me being somebody that's like that, it's not in my possibility to crank out 30 pieces of content a day and like cross post mm-hmm. and do this and do that.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm really trying to become more effective. I also think I'm wanting to really lean towards more makeup education, and I want to, that's something that's really important to me and something that I want to center my content around. What is the problem? What are the solutions that I can offer? And I think I want to focus more on long form content. I want to definitely start putting things out on YouTube. I used to be on YouTube a lot, and YouTube is what I consume all day, all night. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to
make sense for you to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited to be on YouTube and rekindle my community there. And I loved being on the Drew Barrymore show. I think what in my vision board is more on air media, talking about beauty, talking about launches, talking about what makes sense for this. I'm also a big old head. Like I said, grew up without cable. So all I was watching was like talk shows. Mm-hmm. So all I watch now is like the Sherry Shepherd show and Tamron Hall love and Drew it. Barrymore and The View. So like, I love talking beauty and allowing people to understand it. And then I also am starting to do some brand consulting, which has been really, really exciting. I think I'm in a really cool place to give feedback to what Gen Z millennials will like, what things will work in the routine, what things they won't gravitate to. I'm around so much of a mix on set all the time that I feel like I have a really keen awareness of filtering out things that are going to be a success and things that are going to struggle. And I think I also, because my focus as a makeup artist is so holistic, like all skin tones, all undertones, all skin textures, all skin needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's something that you can't get from an influencer. Like an influencer who has never touched another face other than theirs. And they're
focused on 18, their own. It's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like 19. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, of course this works for you because you're 12. So
yeah. That's Although been, we're finally that's been really... seeing a growth in 40 plus, 50 plus.
Thank
I'm loving
God.
To see my older creators getting out there and being like, no, this is only cute if you don't have a single wrinkle. So
exactly. And so just like, yeah, just more transparency, less bullshit. I really love that. I think everybody's really getting tired of the filters and the bullshit and the TikTok voice and the and it's like, and it's nice. So I think it's also a really good time for me to be more myself, more unapologetically.
Yes.
That's something that my partner works at K18 Hair, and that's something they're always mm-hmm. telling me. They're like, you're overthinking, which is something that I have absolutely admitted to doing because as the stakes get higher, as you start making a living out of brand deals and things like that, you are going to get worried. You are going to be like, is this okay? Should I do this? You think I can post this? How many times mm-hmm. can I post myself having a wake and bake before brands are like, what is this bitch doing? You know?
You could do it daily, I think, at this point.
I think I could do it daily. Yeah.
I think you could. I mean, as someone who's mentoring creators all the time, right? Like my mentorship group does voice note me. So I run them all off of Voxer on the daily. And so they're voice noting me every single day. And it's so funny how, number one, like therapeutic it is to just say like, is it okay to do X, Y, and Z and have somebody, me, voice you back being like, yes. Like, they're really just looking for permission, even though it all is completely fine. I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't you charge that amount? Yes. Like, why aren't you going to say no to this opportunity? Like, it's completely fine. Yeah. And I think when we work in a silo as a creative, and especially as a content creator, there's no like, hey, Jan from like across the way, like, what do you think about this? Like, There's no conversation.
And that's one of the things that fucking sucks, because as much as you might want to make community, I think there's also a lot of like tension. There can be weird competition vibes. Yeah, there's competition. The vibes can be weird. And like, as soon as it gets into that territory, I'm just like, ooh, I need to go home. I'm like, I need to talk to my partner. Like,
I get it. I also have to connect you with one of my mentorship creators, Kaylee. Her Instagram is at Occupation Beauty. She's actually an OT, and she reviews beauty through the lens of an OT for people who may have had like limitations, chronic pain, etc.
Oh my god, that's so nice.
And yeah, it's really an interesting journey for her to lean into that and be, you know, really essentially reviewing products from such a different standpoint, not necessarily just about how they wear, but how do I open this? How do I apply it? That's why I love her channel, because it's like such a unique perspective of the beauty industry. And that was what I'm always championing. Not everybody has to do it the same way. So this is your permission slip, Carol.
Okay.
Wake and make all you want. It's your channel. Okay. You get to do what you want. And the people who appreciate that are going to sponsor you. And the people who don't appreciate that are not going to sponsor you. And that's completely fine, because we can't be for everybody, you know?
That's true. I know. I'm doing that in therapy. I'm like, oh.
It's a hard one. Trust me. It's a hard one.
I'm like, it's the abandonment trauma.
No. Okay. Our very last question before we wrap up. Other creators out there, brand new little babies starting their TikTok, starting their journey on Instagram, whether they are makeup artists or not, what is some piece of advice that you'd like to give them if they look up to you as a more successful creator, which you are?
One, don't buy more than what you have. Don't buy for TikTok. Mm-hmm. If you are not buying yourself a lipstick every week when you're not on TikTok, do not buy yourself a lipstick every week when you are on TikTok. You're already setting yourself up to fuel your channel with reinvention and like product and this. So if that's something that you can't do for the long term, then don't start that as a pattern, because it's also not the most cost-effective thing. Like, people on TikTok are not all like, yes, there are the girlies that get a product every time it launches. Love them. Love their bank accounts for them. But it is inaccessible for a lot of people. And so, like, what I would say is talk about what you know and share what you love. Think also about things that you might do, or things that maybe you've gotten feedback from your friends or from your family that's been like, ooh, how do I avoid this? Or how do I not do that? Or if it's something that you get a lot of compliments on, that's already something. Like, you can make so much out of just what you have. You can even talk about, hey, I have one brush, and this is how I do my makeup with my one brush that I have.
Yeah.
Instead of you, and you can do that instead of feeling bad about not having 20 brushes and never posting a TikTok, you can impress a bunch of people by being like, here are the 18 ways that I use this brush. I do it like this, and then I go like this, and then I do it like this, and then I spray it out, and then da 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 da. Like, everybody can use something that you have to offer. And as long as you just continue to offer the same thing that comes from you, people will find you, and then they'll also find all your other stuff.
Yeah. I really think it boils down to so much happens in the content creation world where people are saying, or they're very focused on what they don't have as opposed to what they do have. So it's lots of complaining about, I don't have this number of followers. I don't have this brand messaging me back. I'm not on this PR list. I didn't get invited to this event. Well, what about all the things that you do have? Because the more that you are so focused on this lack, this thing that is not here right now, the farther that's going away.
Yeah.
And the more you're ignoring the things that are actually right in front of you that you could be using.
I entered Elf's Beautyscape in 2018. I only had my phone. I did not have a laptop. I didn't own a laptop until like 3 years ago. I was editing everything on iMovie. My lights where it was just like a 3-bulb lamp. I just made sure that my room looked nice in the back, and I entered, and I was one of 25 to go to the Bahamas to compete for this shit. And I am signing contracts and NDAs on my tiny ass phone and making it work.
Like, there you go. Anyone can do it. It's possible.
Make it work. Make it work. If you want to make a video, you will make a video.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so true. I love that advice. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Carol. I really appreciate you. And I know the audience is going to love this. And to all of our Hoochies listening, thank you for joining us today.
Bye, Hoochies.
Bye, Hoochies.
Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Lip Service, the podcast with me, Sonia Elise. If you just can't get enough of me or this podcast, which I know is the case, please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at sonia.elise. That's sonia.elyss. In addition, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review this podcast and just let me know what you think. As a thank you for being a listener, I will be selecting a monthly winner to receive a free one-on-one session with me. All you have to do to enter is screenshot the podcast and share it on your Instagram stories, tagging myself as well as at Lip Service World. If listening to this podcast has inspired you to invest in your journey as a beauty creator, don't forget that you can get my eyes on your account with a custom profile audit. It's $35, the same as a Stanley Cup, but it adds way more value to your life. Don't forget that sharing your life online can spark joy, so just hit post. Catch you on the next episode.